WEVD, New York.
WLTH, Brooklyn, New York.
WCNW, operating on a frequency of 1500.
Travel with us now back in time to New York City in the 1930s and 40s.
Long and I was singing, Zollstein is clinging, it's Eastside Gluckstein's restaurant and caterers.
The Yiddish Radio Project has rescued 1,000 fragile discs from the heyday of Yiddish radio.
I won't let you do it.
I schluck the Kalikop in Kishin in Lomachalip.
Recordings which allow us to eavesdrop on a lost world.
The Brownsville Funeral Parlor is on the air. It tunes a theme song, Goodbye Forever.
Today on the Yiddish Radio Project, the story of Nachum Stutchkoff. Stutchkoff was a prolific writer who brought intense, intimate, and emotional dramas into the homes of his listeners.
Each week, his Yiddish radio plays portrayed a different fictional Jewish family struggling to adapt to life in America. Only 24 episodes of his series by Tata Mama's Tish, Round the Family Table, survive today. These recordings offer a unique glimpse of life in the tenements of New York City 60 years ago.
In a few moments, for the first time in more than half a century, we'll broadcast one of Stutchkoff's dramas. Note that these programs were originally performed in Yiddish. We've enlisted the help of actors and actresses to provide translation, including Eli Wallach, who plays Nachum Stutchkoff. But first, the story of Nachum Stutchkoff himself, as told by his son, Misha.
The B. Monish Evans Company, world's largest matzo makers, present by Tata Mamis Tish, written and directed by Nachum Stutchkoff.
Nachum Stutchkoff, my father. The date is February 14th, 1940.
Wir bringen noch eine neue Geschichte von der Serie bei Tata Mamis Tisch.
We bring you today another episode of Round the Family Table. The names of the characters are fictitious, made up, and have no relation to any living person who happens to have the same name.
The characters were made up, the names were changed, but my father's stories couldn't have been more real.
Listen, Mrs. Lefkowitz, do you mind if I tell you something personal?
Sure, sure.
It's about your daughter.
My daughter?
Yes.
Yesterday, my Gertie came to me and said, Mama, you know who I met yesterday on Broadway? So I say, who? And she says, Poyl, Mrs. Lefkowitz's daughter. And you know who she was with? With the Italian, whose father used to run the fruit store.
No!
Mrs. Lefkowitz, get a little water, Mrs. Lefkowitz.
What's the matter, Mama? What happened? What are you crying about?
Scheinem nach ist er lebt, mein Tochter.
There was nothing else like it on the air. Mainstream radio was about allowing listeners to escape out of their problems. On Jewish radio, we would escape into our problems. For instance, the high crime rate among Jewish boys growing up poor on New York's Lower East Side back then.
Papa! Mama, somebody's knocking at the door!
Mama! Papa, please, hide me!
That's me, age 21.
Hide me, quick!
Who's
Mr. Winder's apartment?
Yes. What do you want?
Have you a son by the name of Milton?
Yes, this is my son.
Put on your coat, young fellow, and come with me.
Pop! I swore I never did anything!
Why don't you do something,
Pa? What has he done, officer?
That's what we want to find out.
I had nothing to do with it, I swear. Pa, don't let him take me. You can't take me.
I'm sorry, kid. I got my orders.
Doctor, what should
I swear, Mom, I don't know anything about it. I swear.
Come on, today, my father is totally forgotten. 60 years ago, he was beloved by New York's immigrant Jewish community. His dramas were hugely popular, his writing revered. Listeners would tune in each week just to hear his matzah commercials.
When you take a piece of Manischewitz matzah in your hand, you know you're holding something well-made, beautiful, clear, light, with 1,000 tastes.
Remember, this is matzah my dad's talking about. It's just flour and water and a little bit of salt.
When you hear the word silver, what comes to mind?
Sterling.
When you hear the word matzah, what comes to mind?
Manischewitz.
Future historians who will study the economic enterprises of American Jews will no doubt give a separate place of honor to the B. Manischewitz Matzah Company. Jews know this, and when Jews desire the best matzah, they know what to ask for. They say, give me Manischewitz.
Give me Manischewitz.
Manischewitz. My father was born in Poland in 1893 with a gift for words. By the time he was a teenager, he spoke six languages. He left Europe for the United States in 1923, teaching himself English on the boat ride over. In New York, he wrote plays. When radio caught on, he switched over to radio drama and began creating these brutally honest depictions of immigrant life in New York City.
You're no good, Pa. Mama works so hard to keep up our home, and you, instead of being thankful to her for all she does, you insult her all the time and make her life miserable.
I won't let you do it.
My father was tireless and wildly prolific, writing as many as 8 different half-hour shows a week. He'd never stopped working. This is my sister Esther Barron and her husband Harold.
We never knew what time he got up or he went to sleep.
The only time he went out of the house, basically, was to go to the studio.
And he was always sitting at his desk. He never spoke to anybody too much.
In fact, I used to watch sometimes. He'd be writing something and he'd be crying.
My mother used to get terribly upset. He says, if it doesn't make me cry, then my audience won't cry either. And it's not worth it.
Yes, go to her. We don't need you. We don't want you.
We don't want a father like you. We're ashamed of you. We hate you.
And that's the way he was. I mean, if it didn't touch him, then he says it's not going to touch anybody.
His needs were very, very little.
He'd never thought about the money. The money aspect was nothing. My mother used to go berserk. He says, to Helmut say, he says he's doing what he wants.
Who cares?
He had other more important things in his mind. He was a very unusual man.
He was very unconcerned about his physical appearance.
Yiddish radio historian Henry Sapoznik.
His clothing was covered in cigarette ash, and he would leave the house wearing unmatched shoes. And he had this shock of unruly hair. He was constantly writing, and his clothing, there were like bits of paper all throughout his clothing. He never stopped.
In his spare time, my father took on side projects, like writing reference books, including a monumental Yiddish thesaurus, the only one ever created. It's 1,000 pages long and took him more than 15 years to complete. The thesaurus is a celebration of a culture which the Nazis were at that very instant attempting to wipe off the face of the earth. The beauty of the language leaps off the pages. Listen, for instance, to a few of the hundreds of synonyms my father found for the word to hit.
Telepecha, telemecha, schmetter, schlugen, schossen, schießen, stupen, frask, fleiß, ticken, tucken, tutzen, titzen, klung, quetsch, knip, kratz, kraf, kritz, grebel, gratschen, grappen.
And the curses. More than 7 pages of them.
Alle Zehen sollen bei ihm herausfallen, nur einer sollen bleiben auf Zahnweite.
All his teeth should fall out, except one, to make him suffer.
A groß Geschäft soll haben mit Schreuer.
He should have a large store, and whatever people ask for, he shouldn't have. And what he does have, people shouldn't ask for.
Lachen soll
he should laugh with lizards.
Hindert Häuser soll haben in
he should have 100 houses. In every house, 100 rooms, and in every room, 20 beds. And a delirious fever should drive him from one bed to the next.
My father died on November 6, 1965, at the age of 72, writing feverishly through his last days. Very little of his work survives. All that remains today are 26 fragile metal discs, 26 episodes of Round the Family Table. This is one of them. Originally broadcast in 1939, it's the first time the program has been heard in more than 60 years. The drama tells the story of a Jewish woman trying to pass as a Gentile in her fancy new neighborhood. So sit back, close your eyes, and let yourself be transported back in time, round the family table. I'm Misha Stuchkov.
Wir bringen noch eine Kanaille-Geschichte von der Serie bei Tata Mames Tisch.
We bring you a new episode of Round the Family Table, an episode which takes place in New York but could have happened anywhere. In Philadelphia, Chicago, or anywhere where Jews live. The scene is a Jewish home in one of the better neighborhoods in New York, Riverside Drive. The lady of the house, a rich Jewish woman, entertains a friend of hers who's come to visit.
And you should have seen the hat she was wearing.
I'm telling you, we laughed so much that I have no imagination.
And her manner? And her English?
Well, let me tell you something.
If you're born low class, you can never escape it. We've lived in this apartment for 5 years, and I'm telling you that no one knows we're Jewish.
Is that so?
I should live so. They made an.
They all think we're Germans.
No, sure.
You just have to know how to handle yourself.
Well, Mom, I'm almost finished.
Say, why don't you say hello to Mrs. Stone?
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? You'll excuse me, won't you?
Certainly.
Hello? Yes. He is not in. I don't know.
Who is it for?
For your grandpa.
Well, you should have asked who it was.
Please, Sidney.
I only said that because he told me he expected a call.
Go and do your work, please.
All right.
Look at that. You have Jewish papers. Must be the old man's, huh? I didn't see a Jewish paper for years.
I'm telling you, geboren a regular synagogue.
It's a regular synagogue here since he moved in. And no matter how much I beg my husband, why do you need this? He's lived all his years in Brownsville. Let him live in Brownsville. Get him a room, send him his check every week. Why do you need him here? You live in a nice section with such high-class people.
High-class people?
Certainly, it's not pleasant.
I will say it's not pleasant. No, I can't have
every morning in the lobby, with everyone coming by, there he stands with his Yiddish papers, arguing with the porter about politics in his English.
Politics in sein English.
Oh, my God.
And if that wasn't enough, now he has the habit on every Monday and Thursday of bringing me guests.
Yes. Yeah, I guessed.
In pink types just like him. It's a wonder we're not evicted from here.
I don't know how you stand it. No. I should live so.
No.
I'm sick just talking about it.
Well, I think I'll go.
Well, thanks for calling and give my regards to your husband.
I certainly will. And don't aggravate yourself.
I'm so nervous, I think I'll take a few weeks off and go to Mexico.
In Mexico.
Goodbye.
This mission of others are my man.
That must be my husband.
What do you want?
Excuse me.
Excuse me. Does Reb Zeinvel live here?
What?
Should I assume that I was given incorrect directions?
Reb Zeinvel.
I think he lives with his son.
So what?
What do you mean, so what? Does he live here or not?
Er ist nicht du in der
He's not home.
Goodbye, Mrs. Brownstein. I'll see you next week.
Goodbye, darling. Goodbye.
Brownstein.
Brownstein? That means that you're the daughter-in-law. I'm Anna.
My name is
Hirschel. Hirschel Zaremba.
You heard what I said. My father-in-law isn't home.
All right. We should do.
Go in good health.
What kind of a cursed year is this? Such a disagreeable personality.
Who are you looking for?
I come here looking for a friend. I have the door slammed in my face as if I had come begging for a handout.
Isn't the Kimmins a mein Futter? You came looking for my father?
I am Futter.
Schmielig.
Yes, Schmielig. Hey, come to mind. Why did you slam the door on this man's face?
Please, Sam, please.
Unless you want me to have a nervous breakdown.
Listen, daughter.
Don't talk to me, please. Please don't talk to me.
I told you I don't want beggars in my house.
Come in, mister. What's your name? You seem very familiar to me.
You don't recognize me?
Here's
the I never would have recognized you.
I guess I'm older now. What can I do? But regardless, Schmidik, you've done well, huh? Maybe sometime you'll visit the poor people in Brownsville, huh?
Can we eat?
Yes. Would you like to join us for dinner, Reb Hirsch?
No, I
just ate a little while ago.
Hello, Pa.
Hello, Sonny. Hello.
You have such a son already?
A feiner Bucher.
Would you like to wait in my father's room? There you'll have Yiddish papers. You can read if you want.
You can clean it as you will.
Take him there, Sidney.
Okay.
And I'll see you before you go.
Come on.
Just like a synagogue in here. One beggar gone, another arrives to take his place. When I see a neighbor from a distance, I want to hide my face for shame.
Dear.
You, yes, but not me. I'm not ashamed of my father, and I'm not ashamed of my guests. I place them as high, maybe higher, as your overblown, phony aristocrats with their noses in the air. These people are not swindlers, not charlatans who sell their souls for a dollar, like your aristocrats. These are honest, sincere people who work hard for their piece of bread, and there's nothing to be ashamed of.
You're forgetting that this is West End Avenue and not Orchard Street and not Sheriff Street.
No, I forget not.
How long has it been since we moved from there? And why are you suddenly ashamed of Sheriff Street and Orchard Street? I'm proud of where I'm from.
Is there something to be proud of?
Yes, is do. In Sheriff Street and Orchard Street.
Sheriff Street and Orchard Street, or any of the tiny little streets, there's more soul, more intelligence, more humanity.
Why don't you become a rabbi? You should have become a rabbi.
Well, Red Hind,
I see that you don't understand.
What am I, some sort of an animal that I can't understand you?
You're no animal, just an anti-Semite.
An anti-Semite,
yes.
The way you talk about Sheriff Street and Orchard Street is the way anti-Semites talk.
All right.
We'll finish arguing another time. Come eat.
Well, how do you like Grandpa's room?
It's a palace.
It's a palace. And he even has a radio. It works.
Sure. I'll put it on if you like. Yeah. I'll see if there's a Jewish hour on now.
There's a Jewish hour here, too.
Of course. Why not?
In a fancy neighborhood like this.
There it is. Well, now, sit down and make yourself comfortable, and when Zeta comes, I'll send him up.
All right. Tyra boy.
A dear sweet boy. Not at all like his mother.
Word to you Jewish homemakers. When you think about preparations for the holidays, think about your brothers and sisters, the Jewish grocery owners. Tell them directly how much Manischewitz matzah you will need. Don't gamble with your holiday. Manischewitz matzah for Passover is matzah which is delicious and imbued with a thousand tastes. Baked from the finest meal that money can buy in the Manischewitz's best matzah bakery in the world. Don't forget to tell your grocery man that you want Manischewitz matzah products.
Manischewitz matzah products.
Sidney, go in there this instant and tell him to turn off that radio.
Stop this racket.
A racket, eh? You know what kind of neighbors we have here? Jewish music. I have enough rabbis on my head.
Enough already, enough.
Do you want me to have a nervous breakdown?
What do you want? You want me to send him back to Brownsville? Well, you can forget about it.
All right, Ma, they stop.
Go now, Sidney.
It's all right.
He can hear this, too.
I don't want you to send him back to Brownsville, but I want you to tell him to stop dragging his beggars in here.
What schnorrers?
These Jews who come visiting your grandpa. Your mother has no name for them but beggars.
Oh, Mama, you're wrong. They're not schnorrers. They're very nice people, really they are. I like them. And let me tell you another thing, Ma. That since Seder's here, our house doesn't seem to be as empty as before. At least now we know when it's a Jewish holiday, when...
So, who's that? Tata.
Father, where did you come from? Where are you going with your satchel?
In Brownsville, my king.
To Brownsville, my child.
Zurich in Brownsville.
Back to Brownsville. Take this, Reb Hirsch. What's going on here?
Shh.
Make no noise and don't get yourself all excited. It's not so bad. I'm not the first nor the last to make this mistake. I know your heart was good, but it didn't work.
What do you mean it didn't work?
It just didn't work. It didn't work.
Let me hear why.
I'm from another world, and this is another world. In Brownsville, I have my friends, my countrymen, my acquaintances. They know me. I know them. And here, it's true. A Jew wanders around in a non-Jewish neighborhood, sits a whole day on Riverside Drive, and has no one to share a single word with. A person is not an animal.
A person has a soul, too. I'll move in with Hirsch. His wife will take care of me. And no one there will try to stop me from living the way I want. No one there will accuse me of bringing beggars home.
I beg you, Father.
Don't go there, please.
Look at him. This is my grandchild. You have no idea, Hirsch, what a dear child this is. What kind of a Jewish heart he has.
Please, Zeta. You know how I was looking forward to the holidays? And now you want to leave us. Oh, don't, Zeta. Please don't.
What do you say, Reb Hirsch?
Please, Zeta. Brownsville wird doch nicht schon pleifen.
Brownsville won't run away.
You know how I love you. Please don't.
So why should you cry? What do you say? Brownsville won't run away. Reb Hirsch, I suppose your wife will let me in after Passover, too. For now, I'll stay. And the grandfather remained at his son's for Passover. But will he stay after Passover? Only God knows. This story is from the series Round the Family Table, brought to you every week at this time by the B. Manischewitz Matzah Company. Join us next week at this time when we will present for you a new story.
Nuchum Stutchkov was played by Eli Wallach. The cast also included Tova Felchew and Mira, Martin Novemsky, David Rogoff, Lillian Lux, Isaiah Sheffer, and Spencer Chandler.
The Manischewitz Matzah Company invites you to be with us again next week, same time, same station, for another delightful program of By Tata Mamis Tish.
The Yiddish Radio Project is produced by David Isay, Henry Sapoznik, and Yair Reiner, with help from Andy Lancet, David Miller, Karen Callahan, and Tony Field. The editor is Gary Covino.
To hear some complete episodes of Round the Family Table, you can visit npr.org and search for the keywords Yiddish Radio.
Next week on the Yiddish Radio Project, the story of the long-forgotten Jewish aviator Charles A. Levine, who crossed the Atlantic only 2 weeks after Charles A. Lindbergh.